The word of God given to us today is Luke 19:1-10. Please turn to page 128 of the New Testament. Please allow me to read the words of God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen. Moses spent 40 years shepherding for his father in Midian until he became 80 years old. In the first half of his life, for 40 years, Moses lived in the palace in Egypt. After he was adopted as the son of the princess of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. However, Moses saw an Egyptian beating on a Hebrew man, killed the Egyptian, and became afraid of being killed himself. So he ran away to Midian, to the border of Egypt, and he lived as a forgotten being. Reuel, or Jethro, the priest and prince of Midian, had 7 daughters, and one of them was Zipporah, who Moses married and had 2 sons. After 40 years, Moses became 80 years old. Although there is a saying in Korean that age is only a matter of number, age is not just a number. It is the history of the person's life up to that point. God gave each person a certain length of time to live, and the higher the age becomes, the less time there remains until the last day. Out of the Psalms, there is only one psalm written by Moses, and it is Psalm 90. Psalm 90 verse 10 says, "Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." These words of Moses show how the days gone by have been tiresome, yet how the life feels empty and how time flies like an arrow. Moses was shepherding for his father-in-law even 40 years after arriving at Midian. The past 40 years of Moses' life could be summarized in 2 words: trouble and sorrow. At that time, shepherds were not respected but treated poorly and not recognized in the society. Shepherding the flock he owned himself would not have looked very great, but Moses was moreover shepherding for his father-in-law. There is a Korean proverb saying, "Better to starve than to live with your in-laws." if Moses was told this, he might have responded with a proverb saying, a full belly counts as well. Or he might have said, if you were to live in a foreign country all by yourself, as I did, you would know that surviving for 40 years itself is like a miracle. This was the life of Moses. Moses led the sheep to Mount Hor on this day, as he always did. Exodus 3:2-3 describes the scene like this. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Here, the bush refers to the thorn bush, which is a low growth of thorny shrubs growing in dry regions like the desert. This bush is spiny and unattractive. It would easily catch on fire under the blazing sun, even without anyone lighting fire on it. The bush symbolizes the Israelites who were suffering from a long history of slavery. When Moses first saw the bush was on fire, he simply passed by. It was not rare that the bush would naturally catch fire in the dry weather. So Moses passed by once, but he saw that this bush was different. If the bush were to catch fire, it would quickly burn to ashes. However, this bush remained standing with the fire. Moses went back to check. Then Moses heard the voice of God. The act of Moses standing in front of the bush, which was on fire but not burning, may seem insignificant. However, this moment was a turning point for the Israelites who were in slavery in Egypt for 400 years to start over as the people of God. This moment for Moses was also a turning point from his life as the shepherd for his father-in-law for the past 40 years, and for him to start over as the leader of the Israelites on their way out of Egypt. The grand history of God started from a seemingly insignificant event. These days, we're studying the Book of Acts at the early morning prayer service. Acts chapters 13 and 14 are about the first missionary journey of Apostle Paul, and chapters 16 to 18 are about the second missionary journey. In between these chapters is chapter 15, which is called the chapter of the Jerusalem Council. You might wonder why there is this meeting between the first and the second missionary journey, which may seem boring. Or you might have been focused on the missionary journeys and not noticed the Jerusalem Council. However, this Jerusalem Council was very important. After spending almost 2 years in the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch of Syria and reported to the congregation of everything God did during the journey, including opening the door of faith to the Gentiles. After reporting, Paul and Barnabas did not leave Antioch of Syria, but remained there and stayed with the church. One day, the people from Judea said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." This was shocking to the church of Antioch. The congregation at the church of Antioch received the gospel without being circumcised. So they sent Paul and Barnabas to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. They had accepted the gospel without being circumcised. And through Paul and Barnabas, who returned from the journey, they were giving thanks to God for opening the door of faith to the Gentiles. Then all of a sudden, some people from Judea came and said that you cannot be saved without being circumcised. Paul and Barnabas, who could not accept the circumcision was a condition for salvation, confronted these people. They said this sounded like invalidating the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. The people at the Church of Antioch recognized that this was a serious problem and confronted the problem. They sent Paul, Barnabas, and the representatives of the Church of Antioch to the Church of Jerusalem, which was like the mother church, to learn from the apostles and elders. This group arrived in Jerusalem and told the elders in Jerusalem how God saved the Gentiles through them and why they had come to Jerusalem. At the church in Jerusalem, there were some Jews who argued that the circumcision was a condition to salvation as well. So at the church in Jerusalem, the first meeting of the elders was held. This meeting was called the Jerusalem Council. The meeting was about the circumcision for the Gentiles. In other words, the meeting was about whether being circumcised was a condition to salvation. During this meeting, the Pharisees stood and said that the Gentiles should be circumcised and that they should follow the laws of Moses. Following these arguments of the Pharisees, there was an intense debate between the people for and the people against the idea of circumcision for the Gentiles. After the intense debate, Apostle Peter stood and spoke about his experience. When he preached the gospel to Cornelius, a centurion in Rome, it was through the power of God. Cornelius was not someone who was circumcised. However, he was a man who feared God. God knew the heart of Cornelius, who sought to fear God. And God sent Peter to Cornelius to have him preach the gospel of salvation. So God sent the Holy Spirit to Cornelius and other Gentiles to testify that they also were the children of God and saved. Peter concluded that he believed the Gentiles were also saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as he was. When Apostle Peter finished speaking, James continued. This James is not the brother of Apostle John, but the brother of Jesus. He was the chairperson of the Jerusalem Council. The final decision he made at the Jerusalem Council was not to persecute the Gentiles who returned to God. He concluded that requiring circumcision to the Gentiles who were already saved as the children of God in Christ Jesus as a condition for salvation was like a criminal act of persecution. James also told the Christians who were Gentiles to avoid the three things that were avoided by the Christians who were of Jewish background. The first one was food sacrificed to idols. That is the act of eating the sacrifice made to the idols of other religions. And the second one was sexual immorality. At that time, there were prostitutes at the temples of other religions, and sexual immorality was committed in the names of gods without any guilt. The last one was eating and drinking of animals strangled or drinking their blood. The animals that were strangled, instead of having their heads cut off, would have blood remain in the body of the animals. So eating the meat of such animals meant drinking the blood in them as well. Since the Jewish people considered blood as life, they avoided eating the meat of the strangled animals or drinking the blood of these animals. The customs and the value system of the Jewish people were different from those of the Gentiles. And if these people did not respect each other, they could not be assimilated and made one in the Christian community, but be divided in separate groups. If the church were divided like that, it would not be a place where anyone could come and be welcomed. The Jewish people who were not believers could not be led into the church. That is why James, as the chairperson at the Jerusalem Council, sent a letter urging the Gentiles to avoid these acts the Jewish people avoided to the church at Antioch and other churches of the Gentiles. This decision was made known to Paul and Barnabas from the church in Antioch, as well as the city of Antioch in Syria, through Judas and Silas, all the way to Cilicia, where Paul's hometown, Tarsus, was located. Group of Seven, or G7, refers to the United States, Japan, Germany, United Kingdom, France, Canada, Italy, and European Union. These states are the world's seven leading states as classified by the International Monetary Fund, and the wealth of these countries have constitute over 50% of the wealth of the entire world. When there is a meeting of G7, it draws attention from the entire world. Between January and February of every year, there is a meeting held at Davos in a small city on the east side of Switzerland. This is known as a Davos Forum. This forum could be compared to the Olympics and is very influential on the world economy. When the forum meets, the entire world would look to the forum for what comes out of this forum. Compared to the meetings of G7 or World Economic Forum, the Jerusalem Council would seem like a small and uninteresting meeting. The Jerusalem Council appears to be a meeting of the leaders of the Hebraic Jewish people and Hellenic Jewish people. However, looking back from now, it might have been the most important meeting in the history of the humanity. If this meeting had concluded in requiring that the Gentiles must be circumcised to become Christians, Christianity would have become a religion for the Jewish people only, and Jesus would have died for the Jewish people only. There would have been no more missionary journeys for Apostle Paul. And if Apostle Paul had not been on these journeys, he would not have written the letters, which became an important part of the Bible. Then Europe and the entire world would look completely different from now. The Jerusalem Council, which seemed like a small meeting, ended up changing the history of Christianity and became a turning point, changing the human history. Today's scripture introduces a turning point for the life of Zacchaeus. Jesus was heading towards Jerusalem on the way to the cross, and he was passing through Jericho, which is located about 25 kilometers from Jerusalem in northeast direction. Jesus was surrounded by 12 disciples, female disciples, and many other people. Because the Passover was coming up, and because it was the most important holiday in Judaism, there must have been a lot of people who were heading to Jerusalem and passing by Jericho or stopping by Jericho. So Jericho must have been filled with people. Verse 2 introduces one person, one of these people who was in Jericho. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector and was wealthy. Zacchaeus was not an ordinary tax collector. He was the head of the tax collectors. Zacchaeus must have been leading a number of tax collectors. In modern terms, he would be like the head of an accounting firm where many accountants work. Zacchaeus must have been a well-known name, like a celebrity in Jericho, and everyone would have known him by his name. Looking closely at verse 2, it states that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, not a chief tax collector of Jericho. At the time of Jesus, there was not a chief tax collector in each city, but one in each province. The chief tax collector was a position with tremendous power, wealth, and respect in the society, as it was appointed by the Roman Empire at the recommendation of the high priest. At the time, Israel was made of a comprised of Galilee in the north, where there is the lake, and then Samaria and Judea was underneath Galilee on the west side of the Jordan River. On the east side of the Jordan River, there was Perea. And Jericho was a city of Judea located by the Jordan River. Zacchaeus was therefore more like the chief tax collector of the entire region of Judea rather than the chief tax collector of the city of Jericho. The reasons he was in Jericho was not because he was the chief tax collector of Jericho, but because Jericho was a very convenient location in terms of transportation and a great place for residence. In fact, King Herod had a winter place in Jericho. Zacchaeus, who has so much power and wealth, became curious about Jesus. Verse 3 says this. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Zacchaeus had great power and great wealth, yet he felt something was missing in his heart. He wanted to see Jesus closely. He had a very intense desire. However, he was short, and there were many people surrounding Jesus. So he could not see Jesus. Last week, when I mentioned that the Bible speaks about a body of someone, I said it suggests that this had a great impact on the person's life. One example would be the eyesight of Eli, who was a high priest. Eli could hardly see. Meanwhile, Moses had very strong eyesight until the day he died. Another example would be the long hair of Absalom. Another example would be where David's cousin and general, Joab, who had a brother named Asahel, who was described as having swiftness of foot, like a gazelle in the open field, or like a wild deer. He died because of this swiftness of foot. Zacchaeus was short. The reason the Bible says this is because his height has some impact on his life. This height may not be unrelated to the job as the tax collector, which was looked down on by the people at the time. We who are the descendants of Adam like to evaluate and judge others. We especially like to devalue or judge others. However, we should not criticize or condemn people for what they were born with. The kind of family or the kind of background we're born into is determined by God. Even if it looks like we were born into the family or background that looks better than others, we cannot say that we are better. The kind of family or the background or the conditions we're born into are determined by God. From there, we can determine how we will live our lives by the help of God. Zacchaeus could not see Jesus because he was short and because there were many people. Verse 4 describes what Zacchaeus did like this. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Zacchaeus looked for Jesus through the rows where Jesus might pass by and climbed up the sycamore fig tree. The version of the Bible that we're using now states that this tree was the sycamore fig tree, and the version that we used earlier states that this tree was mulberry tree. Between these two expressions, the sycamore fig tree would be more accurate. The tree was called by two names because the fruit of the tree was like figs, and the leaves of the tree were like mulberry. Looking at the same tree, today's scripture wrote the sycamore fig tree, while the book of Amos wrote this tree as was the mulberry tree. And the verse describing the verse that described who Amos was in the verse, I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of mulberry trees. This tree had the branches that extended out, so people would climb on them. Zacchaeus was not any tax collector, but the chief tax collector. If he were the chief tax collector, not only of the city called of Jericho, but of the entire region of Judea, he must have been quite elderly. In modern terms, he might have been in the late 40s or 50s or older. If a chief tax collector of such age, with short height, climbed up a tree, it must have been an unusual scene. This shows how much Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. In Jericho, there were many palm trees, and Jericho was in fact called the city of palm trees. However, the palm trees were not easy to climb because they grew upward and there were not many branches. Jericho also had many sycamore fig trees and honey locusts. So Jericho was also called the city of sycamore fig trees. These two kinds of trees provided good fruit and wood. The sycamore fig trees are similar to the zelkova trees, which are common in the countryside in Korea. It was not common for middle-aged men to climb up the sycamore fig trees, but also not unheard of. This became, nevertheless, a complete turning point in the life of Zacchaeus because Jesus intervened. The life of Zacchaeus changed completely from before and after he climbed up the sycamore fig tree. The sycamore fig tree symbolizes rehabilitation and revitalization. Zacchaeus, before he climbed up the tree and after he climbed down the tree, and hearing the voice of Jesus, became completely different, even though he was a thief on the outside. Moses standing in front of the burning bush, or the meeting of the Hebraic Jewish people and the Hellenic Jewish people about circumcision, appeared to be nothing special. However, when God intervened, these events became the beginning of a new history that freed a nation of people and transformed the direction for the entire human race. And likewise, when Jesus intervened in the life of Zacchaeus, who climbed up the sycamore fig tree, his life would turn around. The intervention from God can be a turning point for the nations, the world, and the individuals. Next Sunday is the Reformation Sunday. The reformer Martin Luther was a monk, priest, and professor of theology. Martin Luther had three titles, but his life was not very special. At the time, the indulgences were sold to build St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, and this was unacceptable in light of what's written in the Bible. The sermon preached by Julian Stetzel, who was a Dominican friar and preacher, to sell the indulgences is still being talked about today. The sermon said, "You can save them. As soon doth the coin the collection box ring, the tortured soul in purgatory to heaven doth spring. Are you willing then for the fourth part of a florin to obtain these letters by virtue of which you may bring not your money but your divine and immortal soul safe and sound into the land of paradise?" Martin Luther put forward 95 theses on October 31st, 1517, to debate whether it is right to sell the indulgences. The very next day was the All Saints Day, remembering all the saints in the Catholic Church. And there was also a group of theologians meeting to discuss every Friday. So Martin Luther has suggested an open debate to be held. This debate did not take place, though. With the advancement of the printing technology, nevertheless, the 95 theses spread across Germany within 2 weeks and across all of Europe within 4 weeks. Martin Luther was not trying to lead the reform necessarily. At the time, it was nothing special for a professor of theology like him to propose a debate on a theological issue. However, God intervened to have these 95 theses presented on October 31st, 1517, to be the turning point which would open the door for the Protestant Church. Even now, there must be new churches being planted everywhere throughout Korea. On July 10th, 2005, God intervened to have the first service of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church become the turning point for the renewal of the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial Center. Because the grace of God continued to this day, we're able to have this worship service today. As of yesterday, 6 p.m. on October 17, 2020, there are over 396 billion people who were tested positive of COVID-19 and 11 billion deaths. God is the one who created this world and who reigns over the world. When COVID-19 was first detected in Wuhan in China at the end of last year, no one would have known that God wanted to change the values of the people in the world, renew the economic and societal structure, and change the forms of the worship at the Christian church using COVID-19. However, God wanted to change not only the world, but also the church and the forms of the faith of the Christians through this virus that is invisible to our eyes. God promised us, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." God, who is omnipresent and is always with us whenever and wherever we are and whatever we do, is with us. So let us look to the Lord who is with us now, whether we're attending the worship service in person or online. Let us have God be our purpose and strength in our lives every day, whether at home or at work, no matter what happens. Then our worship service and our worship every day will become the turning point as the Lord intervenes in them. Let us pray. Father God, you intervened when Moses, who used to shepherd the flock for his father-in-law, stood in front of the burning bush and had the moment be the turning point for Moses as well as for the Israelites who used to be in slavery for 400 years in Egypt. You also intervened at the meeting of the Hebraic Jewish people and the Hellenic Jewish people in determining whether the Gentiles should be circumcised when becoming saved as Christians, for that moment to be the turning point for the Christian church. When Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and had great wealth, felt something missing in his life and climbed up the sycamore fig tree to see Jesus, you made that moment to be the turning point in his life. Please help us all live our lives with the Lord, who promised to be with us until the very end of the age as our purpose in life. Please help us live our lives in faith and not be interfered by COVID-19. Please help us see you more clearly and closely as you are our strength and as you are always with us. Wherever we are and whatever we do, please help us live every day to be the turning point in faith in our lives as you work in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.